This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We'll call the Public Utility Commission meeting to order. It is February 10th, 1:30 p.m., room 413, State Capitol Building. This is an ad hoc meeting of the Public Utilities Commission. All three commissioners are present in the meeting room. We are here to discuss one docket, Grain Warehouse 22-002, in the matter of Roslyn Elevator, Roslyn, South Dakota. And the question simply being, how shall the commission proceed? And at this point, we're going to turn it over to Grain Warehouse staff to present the issue to us.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Amanda Reese for staff. And staff filed this docket because due to just significant changes in the financial position of Roslyn Elevator. We outlined those changes both in our filing as well as the memorandum we filed just this week to provide the commission some additional information. And really, this petition staff felt it was necessary to bring this petition just because we feel that without informal action by the commission at this juncture, the situation could deteriorate quickly. Staff is hopeful, though, that if the commission grants staff's request as laid out in the complaint, it will provide a level of protection for producers, as well as providing Roslyn time to support the time and the support necessary to rectify the current financial position. We'd like to stress in this case, this is not a case of a bad actor or bad behavior. It's an unfortunate financial situation. And from all accounts, from community members we've heard from, our inspectors, as well as our interactions with Mr. Schmidt, he's a good, hardworking man who cares about his community, his customers, his employees. And he has shown us through his actions that he is willing to do everything in his power to ensure that his customers and employees, as well as producers, are taken care of. And he has indicated he'd like Roslyn to continue operating. Staff is in a position where we believe we can work closely with Roslyn and provide that support. At this time, while we ask for formal action, we're optimistic that Roslyn can come through this. Mr. Chambliss is here with me today, and he can provide additional information and answer any specific questions the commission may have for him.
Thank you. And I'm going to do something maybe a little unusual. I think I'm going to go to questions first, and that way, if questions of staff, and that way when Mr. Schmidt speaks, if he wants to address any of those, he can also. I'm going to begin with questions. Help me understand the ownership structure here. I mean, we know Mr. Schmidt is involved, at least I do, but beyond that, I don't understand the ownership structure.
Mr. Schmidt is the sole owner. Him and his wife have been operating it for numerous years. Most of his staff have been on board with him for 20-plus years, and there really hasn't been any significant changes that way. It's a matter of I think they're sound in the management side of things.
So this is a sole proprietorship?
Yes, it is.
And without delving into anything that needs to be confidential, the method of compensation for the owner, is there some pseudo salary, or is it periodic regular draws? How is Mr. Schmidt compensated from the business?
Do you want me to answer that?
Sure. Yeah, if you'd like to, because Mr. Chambliss is looking here. But if you would, that would help us. Thank you.
I'm 68 years old. My wife is, how old are you, honey? 67. We've been married for almost 49 years. We have stopped taking most of our salary out of the elevator, and we're just living on our Social Security to try and get the elevator back online. I started in the business with my dad back in 1968. I guess driving feed truck when I was 12. We haven't pulled that terrible much out of the elevator because we've always wanted to be successful. And I guess basically what happened is I just had too much delayed pricing on hand. not thinking that that's a bad thing. I always thought, wow, that's good storage, but over the years I've not been able to use the storage. But between the people from the PUC, Justin and Sarah and Cody, I've gotten that down quite a ways, working hard on that. I guess understanding your question is how much we take out of the elevator. It isn't very much. And it never has been. So I don't know if that answers your question, Commissioner.
It does. It answers it perfectly, and I appreciate your transparency and sharing that with us. Go ahead.
I guess I'll just stop there. I don't need to tell you my life history. It goes on quite a ways.
Okay. I've got a couple.
And that's all I've ever known is the grain business is all I've ever known. And, just got myself out of compliance and we're switching banks, hopefully, here. And I think at that time, they're going to set me up with a hedging account if everything works out. And we're very much looking forward to going from U.S. Bank to Dakota Bank, who's asked me twice to switch. And, of course, I didn't want to switch with everything going on. But they're willing to work with me, Kelly Hansen at Dakota Bank. And Webster has been wonderful, and customers coming in have been. I'm just humbled by the support they've gave me, and I didn't realize we were that important to them. So I'm very happy on that end. We're getting everybody paid. People have been very good on that, and I've got after I pay Pioneer today, I had $500,000 in my account, and we're moving beans and moving corn. The corn pile that I got on the ground that we were worried about was there's only about $20,000 left, and we're blending it off. And today we went to Poet and Aberdeen. We had one damage on one, which is no discount. On the other one, we had 8 damage, which is 2 cents a point after 5. So that was a 6 cent discount. We've done pretty good on the blending part of it and keeping on blending. And I guess that's about it. The U.S. Bank did not say on the 31st that they were going to take our account away or our loan. He said that he would not pull the rug out from under us, and that was his words. His other words were that he didn't want small business anymore, especially with commodities because of the risk and stuff. And that's why they started getting tough with us too, is because of the financials and the delayed price and me owing that much to other people. I had one good customer. He did defer a lot of grain back into 2025, and which he would be eligible, like, to pull some out, whatever he needed to. He's retired and doesn't want all the money. The other brothers, I pretty well got them squared away yesterday. The Krista boys, their brother passed away and had no will, and we got that wheat bought and some corn bought, and they felt better when they left. I guess, and I'm working on it. I'm going to try and get them down as much as possible. I think since the guys have been there, since Cody and, well, since Sarah and Justin were there, who helped so much, I think I've gotten close, I'm guessing, 180,000 to 200,000 bought up since then. So if Dakota Bank will take us, we'll be doing all right. What I've been doing over the last probably 6 months is just working out of the elevator checkbook and moving the grain. We have 2 semis. They're all everything's pretty well paid for. I just need to get get the financials straightened out, I guess. But I guess, Commissioner, I'll leave it at that. And
thank you.
Any more questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate your sharing, you know, your hard work in trying to get this thing straightened out, and obviously I appreciated Ms. Reese's comments about your heart and your attitude and trying to work to get this straightened out. That goes a long way with us. Mr. Chambliss, a couple more questions. In the staff memo, third paragraph, about halfway down the third paragraph, there is a sentence. This, coupled with the volatile commodity prices in the past couple of years, resulted in a fairly substantial change in Roslyn's working capital and net worth. Okay, I'm trying to understand that. If all of this delayed pricing grain was hedged, how would that change the net worth?
Mr. Schmidt does not do any forward hedging. He does cash or back-to-back sales. So when a producer sells, he takes a position with a local co-op or elevator and sells the grain. So all of the grain that is on VCS or price later contracts is actually still in his bins unpriced. So it is a 100% liability, and as markets go up, the risk goes up further because those contracts are priced on his balance sheet at current day market's value, even though he has not paid for them or they are neither marketed.
So there's some unrealized gain there. Is that accurate?
I am getting storage off of that grain. The grain isn't priced yet. There was some grain back in 2015, like the wheat that I bought from the Christas yesterday, was almost $4 with the storage on it. But it's hard to hedge with delayed pricing grain when they really haven't priced it yet.
Right. Mr. Chambliss a question to try to get to the bottom of where I'm going.
Yeah, I'll stay out of it here. All right. Thank you.
Okay, so the grain that we've just been talking about, this delayed price grain, Roslyn Elevator has title to it.
Correct.
As Mr. Schmidt just said, they're getting paid storage on it. And as you explained, when it comes in, he's selling. How is he locking in the price on that?
He does not lock in a price until the producer decides to sell.
Okay, so how is that, when it comes in, how is that reflected on the balance sheet at the current market price, correct?
Current market price, correct.
Okay, so if the market price goes up a buck, then
his liabilities shoot up a dollar automatically.
Right, but his asset also goes up by a buck. And is that asset increase, that's not shown on the balance sheet, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that goes back to my question. Is there unrealized gain sitting there? And I'm guessing that with what's happened to commodity prices, the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Am I understanding right?
And generally in cash accounting, you don't see the unrealized gain or loss. They try to keep that off of the balance sheet. You might see it on an income statement, but you won't see it on a balance sheet.
But when it's ultimately sold, you're going to... Obviously, it's going to be cash in hand that isn't reflected on the balance sheet.
Correct.
Correct?
That is correct.
So that is all going to, I mean, the fact that the markets have gone up is going to help him significantly in this, correct?
It will, but he's still only going to make the margin that he would make. His basis is just a little less than the locations around him. So he's still probably only going to make his margin of 10 to 15 cents, whether it's $15 beans or $10 beans. But he's also making the storage, which does appear on his balance sheet, service fees.
Yeah, so I follow what you're saying. He's only going to make the margin, but he's going to have a windfall as it relates to the balance sheet. Am I correct?
That is correct.
And the balance sheet is where he's in trouble with you, us, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. Okay. Maybe the last question. The staff has requested, you've requested something unusual. And, you know, we've been through a number of these situations, and this one probably drove it home more than any, that every one of these grain buyer difficulties is unique. I mean, really unique. We've not dealt with anything like this one before. And so you've come to us with a unique request that we want this suspension, but we want to keep buying under some parameters. And the reason we want to keep buying is we need to blend grain. Well, why do you blend grain? Because there's bad grain. And so my question is, how did we end up with bad grain? And is that due to management, or how did we end up with bad grain?
I think the easiest thing to say is the significant amount of snowfall in the northeastern part of the state, coupled with above average temperatures and major temperature swings. We're going from zero to 50 at times, and you get some melting of that snow into those piles, and then it creates mold and hot spots. You know, when the other side of it is when producers aren't willing to sell in an upward trending market, it left Steve in a tough position that he couldn't sell grain. Or if he did sell that grain, he would probably end up taking a loss on it because the market kept going up and producers could sell at a higher price later.
Well, unless you buy it back on the board.
Correct.
And so what I'm understanding is there was a significant amount of outdoor storage, and given what you've said, I understand. Is the amount of outdoor storage maybe improper for this operation?
I think it was a good crop year in that area. I don't think it's an astronomical amount of grain that's on the ground. I mean, and we got one 20,000 bushel pile that we have a few issues with. The other pile's he's been working on a cleanup. You know, I believe we've had other dockets here before us that those piles sat there a lot longer and were well larger than 20,000 bushels. So.
Very good. I appreciate that discussion and explanation. Additional questions, Commissioner Feagin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I can speak on behalf of all three commissioners that we certainly have passion for our producers and our farmers, and so does Stephen Schmidt. He has passion for his producers that are around him, and you can just hear it. You can hear his heart. This one probably opened up my eyes more than any other docket because it's a small elevator that is providing service to the local producers and farmers. But it appears to me that Mr. Schmidt and his wife are taking an incredible amount of risk compared to a large Cargill or a large operation. He personally is taking an incredible amount of risk for his producers to take all these price later contracts and volunteer credit sales. So I didn't realize he had that much storage. So are you telling me, number one, Cody, that he's not selling any of this grain, he's storing it all?
He does sell grain, but his practice is he does not price or market that grain until producers price their grain on their price later contracts. So he takes grain in the fall, and he doesn't ship it out until a producer decides to sell it.
Okay. So it looks like to me that he's allowing a lot of flexibility to the producers to, you know, we all love agriculture, and we love it when the commodity prices go up for our farmers, and we cheer. But it appears to me he's taking a lot of risk. Does he, in these price later contracts, is there an end game on some of these contracts that say you need to price your grain within 18 months or 12 months or... Help me understand that, because it appears that this couple is taking a lot of risks for producers that pretty much have all the gain if, of course, the commodity prices go up.
The price later contracts generally have a one-year renewal, and it's up to the manager and the producer to come to an agreement to renew that or if they need to price it out. So there is an expiration date on all these contracts.
So if it's 1 year and you, your operation, your department looks at a lot of price later contracts, do most people automatically renew those? Or because it looks like to me maybe they've been renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed, and I understand the service to the producers and the farmers, but sometimes maybe the farmers and the producers are taking advantage of a servant heart of somebody that's trying to serve his community.
The toughest thing with contracts is I mean, prices change. And yes, it would be a lot better if producers would price those, you know, rather than roll them over. A lot of producers do price their contract throughout that year, and then they move it to a deferred and take payment the next year. So other producers like the risk or the gamble and hope that the market goes in their favor. And though they're paying some storage on those bushels, you know, there is some significant gain that could be had. Look in the last 18 months, 2 years, you know, we're looking at $4 difference on soybeans alone or more.
And I think we're all cheering for the producer that the commodity prices are going up. And I agree with that. And they're probably making great decisions. What I see here for the first time, I guess my eyes were opened so much how a elevator with a servant heart may be putting themselves so much at risk. I don't know. It's a tough one.
If I may, this was a really, really tough case for me. The amount of hard work and determination that Steve's put into this is unreal, and the amount of calls we've received and support from the community has been great, and there's been a lot of changes that have happened since last week when we filed. And, you know, we are asking a unique situation here, but I believe this is a lot different than previous cases we brought in front of you. But I will also say that VCS contracts are the issues with Kingsburg, with Avon, and now with Roslyn.
Well, thank you. You know, thank you for bringing this to us. And it is a difficult situation. I think all three commissioners' eyes were opened when we read this one, because like Commissioner Nelson said, it is very unique. Thanks, Cody.
Additional questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the compassion from our staff. Under the circumstances, this unique suggestion that you have is very appropriate. The Schmidts are, as has been exemplified by staff, by Mr. Schmidt, and by my fellow commissioners. Schmidts are really providing a wonderful service to their community, and I can see why. And their community is a large community from a standpoint of a footprint. And it's important that we have this type of a resolution that you've suggested for them, because it affects the entire community by what service they are providing. It is a big risk that they're taking, and they're taking it on behalf of the producers and certainly making a living out of it. It's interesting that after 50 years we can still learn something in our business practices. I hate to use the term perfect storm, but it seems like that's what hit them during this particular time. They don't create the weather. They don't create the markets. They try to anticipate them and provide that storage service for the producers around them so that the producers can make money. And that's what they're doing. So the producers helping them stay in business is very appropriate, because if they stay in business, it's good for the producers, it's good for the communities, it's good for everyone in the area. So I appreciate and encourage us to continue working this way and in any future endeavors that we run into like this. You did a good job. Thank you. And my condolences of sorts to the Schmidts for the challenge that they're going through at this time. It's an interesting situation to have assets, significant assets, but your balance sheet is off, and so therefore you're having challenges. It's a very odd situation.
Thank you. With that, Mr. Schmidt, you've heard our discussion here. Anything else that you would like to add?
No, I just thank you very much, and we'll work hard, and we'll make this work, and I want to thank the commissioners and everybody that's worked for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. With that, if there are no further questions, is there a motion? In Grain Warehouse 22-002, I move that the commission suspend the grain buyer license of the Roslyn Elevator with the caveat that purchases be allowed under staff's direction for the sole purpose of blending and selling grain that's on hand that needs to be treated in that fashion, and that the commission authorizes staff to apply to the circuit court for receivership if needed. And I'm going to just take a timeout. Do we need to do anything with the hearing portion, or? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Timeout is over. I think that is my motion.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. They have a signed agreement. Is that between all of the parties?
If I may, this is Amanda Reese for staff. I believe Mr. Schmidt agreed to these conditions and to support staff's recommendation regarding the suspension of the license. Part of that, though, is he did ask for a hearing, and it's staff's understanding that that would stop the 15-day automatic revocation. We could work on scheduling a hearing or schedule it for the, I believe he asked for the 4th, and provide updates to the commission. Meanwhile, to determine if a hearing is necessary or if he comes back into financial compliance, of course it wouldn't be necessary.
Okay.
So the motion is good for the moment, correct?
Correct.
Okay, discussion on the motion. Let me say a couple of things. Again, first, thank you to Cody and Amanda and your crew for being diligent about this. This is not easy for you all, and I know that. But at some point, you know, sometimes, and I've been in business, I mean, we've all been in business, and sometimes it's easy to just keep doing what you've always been doing, and sometimes you just need a wake-up call, and that's what this seems like to me. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time, and for a long time it's been successful, but then all of a sudden it's not, and you just need somebody to come in from the outside and have a wake-up call. And say, you know what, we need to do something a little bit different. And it sounds like, you know, the bank probably had that perspective and, you know, and had a wake-up call. And now, you know, our grain warehouse division is, you know, making that same statement. And so that doesn't mean the end by any means. It's just going to be a wake-up call that we need to do something a little bit different. And what I'm gathering from Mr. Schmidt's comments today and from Cody and Amanda's comments is that everybody involved is working diligently to find that new business model, that new paradigm, and the changes that need to be made so that this establishment can stay in business for the folks there, and we appreciate that. So to Grain Warehouse staff, thank you. To Mr. Schmidt, again, we appreciate your being on the line. We appreciate your transparency. We appreciate your heart and what you are trying to accomplish there. We wish you the very best as you work through this. But I do think the action that I have proposed today certainly protects farmers as you work through this transition, and it's with the entire goal of getting through the suspension and getting these folks back into full business. Additional comments?
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Hansen.
Well, I'll just say I wish the best to the Schmidts. Under the circumstances, it looks like they're excellent people, and I just wish them the very best.
Additional comments?
Thank you.
Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Is there any public comment? I don't see anybody appearing for public comment. Anything else for the good of the order? Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.